If you have your Bibles with you today, we're continuing our march through the Gospel of Mark. We're still in chapter 1 and we've come to verse 16. I'll be reading verses 16 through 20 today. So if you would please stand for the reading of God's holy word. This word is inerrant, it's infallible, and it is the holy inspired word of God. Again, Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, and they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boats mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. This is God's holy word. If you would please pray with me. Father, we thank you for your presence here with us by your Holy Spirit and worshiping you. Oh, Father, I pray this morning that our time together, we would see your great love for us through your living word. Father, we ask that we would hear your voice today and that you alone would receive all the honor and the glory. Father, would you encourage us and convict us by your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, a number of years ago, I joined the YMCA, and I did this partly to exercise, but I also did it to be able to meet some new people and to be able to have the opportunity to share the gospel. Now, when I'd go to the Y, I'd go into the room with all the treadmills and elliptical machines, and I'd go get on the elliptical machine every day. 40 minutes. 40 minutes. Impressed, aren't you? I crank up that level all the way, and I keep cranking up to a level 2. Very, very proud of me, aren't you? Very inspired. And honestly, time I thought I was crushing it. I'd finish my workout, I'd wipe down the machine, and I'd walk out feeling pretty good about myself. Until one day I kind of actually looked around what others were doing, and I started looking down the row of machines. All these women, I mean, they are just busting their tail. I mean, they were flying on these things. Inclines cranked up, resistance way higher than mine. I mean, their sweat is pouring, their lungs are pounding, but they kept going. They weren't just showing up. They weren't just showing up. They were pressing in. You know how you get in and you're leaning in, trying to give it all that you got. They were all in. And it was then I felt this kind of uncomfortable conviction that settled over me. That's what real effort looks like. That's what real effort looks like, what it means to literally push forward. That's what it means to give yourself something just fully over what you're trying to accomplish. It was at that point I kind of scratched my head and I changed at that point. I cranked up the resistance. I started pushing harder and harder each time I went to the gym. I didn't do it to impress anyone, but I did it because I realized I was just coasting along. I was coasting. I wasn't really getting anywhere. Well, that moment became more than just a workout wake-up call, if you will. It became a mirror, because isn't that a lot the way the Christian life is? We kind of just coast along. We show up, but we coast. We do just enough to feel like we're actually doing something. We stay comfortable at that level too, but we're never really straining. We're never really surrendering. We're never really following with everything that we are. But that's not what Jesus calls us to do. You see, when I look at Mark chapter 1 and our passage here this morning, I see Jesus calling those ordinary, just regular guy fishermen. I don't see a casual invitation. I see a radical disruption. I see urgency. Jesus says, what does he say? He says, "Follow me." And what do? They drop their nets immediately, and they just, no hesitation, no half-hearted effort, no coasting along at level 2. They go all in. They go all in. And beloved, that's still the call for discipleship today. That same call for discipleship, that same call to follow me still is going on 2,000 years later, right here in Hickory, North Carolina. Follow me. Discipleship is going all in with their time, all in with their talents, all in with their treasures. It's all in. And as I was working through this passage and preparing this message, as you're doing this, things begin to weigh on your heart. And what's weighing on my heart this week is I don't want us just to become complacent. I don't want us to be just a level two church, if you will. I don't want us to be just comfortable, just coasting, just going through the motions. I don't want us to be lacking the fire or lacking the passion to truly press in and follow hard after Jesus. I want more from you. God wants more from you. God wants more from me. I want us to get back to the very basics of follow me to feel again of that burden to pursue Christ with everything that we have. To follow him with passion to live out our lives with purpose for him, and in turn to become more like him every single day. My prayer this morning is simple, that you would hear and respond to the call of discipleship. That you see yourself not just as somebody who believes in Jesus, but somebody who is a true disciple of Jesus. Now it's important to here at this point to define exactly what is a disciple. Well, the dictionary defines it this way. A disciple is someone who follows another person, follows another way of life, who submits themselves to their teaching, who submits themselves to the discipline of that leader. So this morning, we're going to look at how that relates to us through three unique points through our passage today. The people Jesus calls, the command Jesus gives, and the promise Jesus makes. The people Jesus calls, the command he makes, and the promise he makes. So first, what type of people does Jesus call? Now, if you're starting a world-changing movement, who would you choose? If you were building something that had to not just last your lifetime, but generations and generations and 2,000 years later, and no telling how much further from now, who would you choose? Well, this is who Jesus chose. Look at verse 16 and 19. Verse 16, passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then verse 19, and going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending their nets. Now picture the scene here of what's going on. Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee, and this is just an area, it's a busy and bustling kind of fishing industry going on. And these fishermen, they were working men. They were working to make their living, to feed their families. And right here, this is where Jesus finds them. Simon and Andrew casting their nets. James and John, they're mending theirs. They're just fishermen. They're just working men. They're just ordinary guys. And here's what strikes me. This area of Galilee wasn't exactly known for producing the worldly scholars or having the great religious leaders. It wasn't the intellectual hub of Israel, and it wasn't where you go to, it would not be at all the place to go to recruit the best of the best. Maybe you remember picking teams back in grade school or middle school, high school, you were picked to be a captain. Who would you pick? You'd pick the fastest. You'd pick the strongest. You'd pick the most skilled. I mean, that's how the world works, isn't it? And if Jesus was operating by our logic, where would he have gone? by our logic. He would have gone to Jerusalem. He would have recruited the trained theologians, the educated scribes, the ones who had all the polished speaking skills. Or maybe he would have gone to Rome and he would have found the real powerful leaders, the real wealthy people, the influential people, the ones with all the platforms, the ones with millions of followers on whatever social media platform. But Jesus, he doesn't work that way. He does what he always does. He catches us off guard every single time. And who does he call? He calls the uneducated. He calls the unknown. He calls the extremely busy. He calls ordinary fishermen. They have no theological training, no seminary degree, no credentials. All they know is fishing. That's all they know. They know how to cast their nets and they know how to gut fish. That's all they know how to do. And yet this is who Jesus calls. Listen to how one commentator puts it. He says, God's grace and mercy is what it's all about. God took broken people, sometimes really broken people, declared them forgiven and clean in the blood of the Savior, began to strengthen their faith and transform their lives, and uses them for his service. Do you hear what that means? To follow Jesus, our lives are continually transformed day by day, and he uses that for us, for his service. Not because we had it all together or because somehow we earned it or somehow that we even began to be qualified, but because Jesus chooses the unlikely. He takes the most broken, the most unqualified, just, again, I'll say it over and over again, ordinary people, people desperate in need of grace and mercy. And he uses those same people, those same individuals who are broken, and he uses them as his tools to deliver that same grace and mercy to a world that urgently needs it. That's the call to discipleship, using broken people for his mission. I mean, he used four fishermen who smelled probably awful. They smelled like the sea, I guess. They definitely smelled like fish. He's used Simon and he used Andrew. He uses James and John. And here's the beautiful truth. Here's what I want you to hear. He uses each and every one of you sitting right here, right now. He's using me. Jesus is calling you, yes, sitting right here to a life of discipleship. He says, follow me. Not someday when you get your act together, not when you feel ready, not when you feel worthy or qualified or when you have enough time in your life. He's calling you right now, right where you are. This is who Jesus calls. So what does he call us to do? Well, that brings us to our second point, the command Jesus gives. So Jesus doesn't just call them and leave them as they are, does he? He doesn't say, hey, nice to meet you, and just, hey, you just keep doing what you're doing. I'm just going to continue and stroll have a nice little leisurely stroll along the sea. No, he calls them with a command. He calls them that changes everything of a command that changes their entire directions of their lives. Look at verse 17, the first part of it. And Jesus said to them, follow me. Follow me. Now, when you give a command like this, you have to have the authority to do so, right? You can't just walk up to strangers and start ordering them around. But Jesus has all the authority in the world. And Mark, he's been, from chapter 1, verse 1, that we've been going through since we started this gospel, he's been building the case that Jesus is the one with all the authority. Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of God. He's Lord. He's the Mighty One. He's the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit, the one who is anointed by the Holy Spirit. He's the beloved Son who pleases the Father. He's the one in chapter 15, or verse 15, he's the one who ushers in the kingdom of heaven. Yes, Jesus is the one with all the authority. And this is the one who, he looks at these four fishermen and he says two very simple words. Follow me. Two words. The two words that change everything. And here's what's so striking about this moment. When you really think about it at the root level, before these men could even become fishers of men, they had to realize that they were what? They were fish. I mean, think about that. Before you can catch others with the gospel, you first must be caught up by the gospel. Before you can cast that net out to catch others, you have to be literally pulled yourself out of the water, the depths of the sea. Beloved, these men were fallen. They were broken. They were indeed sinful. And they needed a redeemer. They were drowning in their need for mercy and for grace and for forgiveness. And Jesus, he is the great fisherman. He's the one who threw out his line and caught them up. That's grace. That's forgiveness. And Jesus, he's the one who makes that specific call. He commands them, follow me. And Jesus, it's he that initiates all this. Jesus is the one who goes out to them. Jesus is always the one who makes the first move in calling them to himself. And that's what you have to see here. You and I are called the exact same way. God pursued us. We didn't pursue God. I mean, let that sink in for a moment. You didn't just wake up one day and think, hey, today I'm going to be a Christian. No, you didn't do that. You didn't muster up enough willpower or somehow goodness in you or somehow some kind of religious effort to earn his attention. You didn't do that. No, he came after you specifically. He sought you. He called you. He pursued you when you were still lost as can be. The great Puritan Thomas Watson said, God did not choose us because we were worthy, but by choosing us, he makes us worthy. He makes us worthy. God makes us worthy. He makes us worthy to a life, not just being as a Christian, but to a life of discipleship, worthy of a life following and living for Jesus. Again, here's what I love about this command. You know, Jesus never says, follow me once you figure out your life. Jesus doesn't say, follow me once, you know, you get your act together. He doesn't say to these four dirty fishermen, follow me once you get yourself cleaned up a little bit and make yourself a little bit more presentable. No, Jesus says, he goes in and says, follow me. He pursues you right there where you are, in the midst of whatever muck and mire that you find yourself in. He says, follow me no matter how broken you might be or how far off that you've wandered. No matter how unqualified you feel or how sinful or how just horrendous your sin might be. He came after you, beloved. And he simply calls out, follow me. You see this passage, it's all about Jesus. Jesus is the focus. It's not about us. It's not about man and what man has done. It's not about what we bring to the table or what we can offer him. It's all about Jesus, the one who has all the authority. And how do these men respond? It's incredible. They respond to Jesus' authority immediately. No hesitation, no negotiation, no, you know, let me think about it for a day or two and get back to you. He doesn't do that. They just follow. And they follow immediately, instantly. So let me ask you this morning, do you know this Jesus? Jesus is calling you to follow him right now. Right now in this moment, to follow me, being Jesus. The question is, will you? There's nothing you need to say, but yes, Jesus, I will leave my nets behind. I will leave my old life behind. I will leave back whatever is holding me back and follow. Now, it's important to understand something else here. You don't have to literally leave your job behind. In life, you have what's called a vocation, and you also have what's called an occupation. And a lot of times we get the two confused. But here's the difference. Our job is what you do. Our calling is who you are. See, vocation comes from the Latin word vocare, which means to call. To call. It's a word that the early church reformers used to describe an entire life lived in the response to the voice, to the call of God. You see, your vocation, that's your spiritual calling. Beloved, you are a Christ follower first. Everything else is a distant second. Your occupation, it's what you do for a living, a salesman, a teacher, a financial planner, a nurse, or whatever it might be. But here's what I need you to hear. Throughout your life, your first and foremost responsibility is not your career. It's not your job. It's not your occupation. It's not your job title or your paycheck or somehow your personal achievements. Beloved, your priority, it's your vocation. It's to be a Christ follower, to be following and to be living for Jesus, to be all in, not coasting at level two. This is the command Jesus gives. It's not a suggestion. It's not optional. It's not an option you can just pick up and put down depending on where you are in your life. No, the command is to follow him. It's to follow Jesus. So we've seen the people that Jesus calls, the unlikely, the ordinary, the broken. And we've seen the command that Jesus gives to follow me. And now we come to our third point, the promise that Jesus makes. So look again at verse 17. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." What a remarkable, amazing promise. Jesus is telling these fishermen, he's telling them this, that once you repent, once you believe in the gospel, and once you follow me, Jesus is saying, I'm going to do this wonderful thing in your life. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Jesus didn't say, maybe one day I'll make you fishers of men. He didn't say, I'll try my best to teach you to make you become fishers of men. He didn't say, Simon, Andrew, you know what, you got a lot of potential, but James and John, you bunch of numbskulls, you know, you're not going to be able to do it, sorry. No, he didn't say that. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Not a possibility, but a promise. Beloved, there are not two kinds of Christians in this world. There aren't just believers in Christ and then true disciples of Christ. To be a Christian, beloved, is to be a disciple. To be a Christian is to be a disciple. I can't say that enough. To be a Christian is to be a disciple. From the moment that you become a Christian until the day you die, you're a disciple. To be a Christian is to be a disciple. And it's all of life. Jesus doesn't say, hey, follow me for a couple years and then you can go on and do whatever you want to do. It's up to you. You're good. Just give me a couple years. No, he says, follow me and keep following me and keep living for Jesus. You see, this isn't just a phase that we go through. It is life. And following Jesus, it isn't about just self-development. It's not about becoming a better version of yourself. It's not about your personal growth or your comfort or your happiness that you can live your best life now. No, it's about a mission. Being a disciple is a mission. It's the mission of Jesus. So what is the mission of Jesus? Well, if you're here last Sunday, we looked at it, verse 14 and 15. That's the mission of Jesus. Verse 15, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The mission of Jesus, it's always the gospel. The mission of Jesus is our mission as disciples. It's the gospel. Another commentator says it this way of this verse. He says, Jesus himself offers the best example of what he calls these disciples to do. He acts as the fisherman. And the four men are the fish, and Jesus cast out his word. And they're caught up into the kingdom of God. And he calls them to become fishermen at this deeper level. And after Jesus' death and resurrection, it's these men, it's these four fishermen. And they will go out and they will share the good news. They will spread that good news and that gospel about Jesus Christ. And the result is others will be caught up into the kingdom of God. Beloved, if the kingdom of God is truly at hand, then we repent and we believe the gospel. If we believe that mission, then verse 17 is of the utmost importance. Because it means we don't just sit here and enjoy our salvation. We don't get to just hoard the good news for ourselves. But we've been caught up by Jesus so we can become fishers of men. Now, what might that look like at a very simple level? Maybe it's just inviting your neighbor to coffee to share your story, to share your testimony. Maybe it's starting a Bible study at your workplace. Maybe for you college students, maybe it's starting a Bible study in college. Imagine that. Going into a broken, sinful world college scene. Starting a Bible study. Maybe it's bringing a coworker to church. It could be simple things, but Jesus will make you a fisher of men. He will do that right where you are in whatever setting that you find yourself. So what does this mean for us as Hickory Presbyterian Church? I've said this several times before, and I will keep saying this. We are not building a church around ourselves. It's not what we're here for. We're not building a church around a personality, because I'm definitely not one of them. We're not building a church around programs or preferences or what makes us feel comfortable. We're building around one thing and one thing only. One thing. It's around Jesus Christ. Beloved, Jesus Christ is the center of everything that we're going to do here. His word, his call, his authority. Beloved, when I hear Jesus say, follow me, I hear him saying, let me set the agenda. Let me direct the mission. Let me define what this church is going to be. So what's going to define this church? It's going to be the message of Jesus. It's going to be the mission of Jesus. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Beloved, that's why we gather together. That's why we worship. That's why we have our times of prayer. That's why we invite our neighbors to come. That's why we go out into this community with the gospel, not because we think it's just some great idea that we can do, but because Christ has commanded us to follow him and to be fishers of men. This is who we are, beloved. This is what we're called to be. Not to play it safe, not to coast, not to, again, coast at level two. It's so easy to do that. But to get out of our comfort zone, to go all in for Jesus, to follow him with everything that we have, and to join him in his mission and seeking and saving the lost. So as we look at our passage, what have we seen today? Well, we've seen the people Jesus calls. The unlikely, the ordinary, the broken. We've heard the command Jesus gives, follow me. And that wonderful promise that he makes, I will make you fishers of men. So the question is, will we believe him? Will we follow him? Will we join him in his mission? Will we become fishers of men? Let me close with this story. I love the hymns of the church. I love the stories behind the hymns. They're just filled with just such amazing life. Ordinary people just like you and me who have said yes to Jesus and watch him do extraordinary things. One person is Francis Havergal, who was a gifted hymn writer and a lifelong Christian. But as her story goes, at the age 36, she realized her walk with Christ had grown complacent. She was coasting. She felt like she was just going through the motions, just kind of comfortable sitting back at ease. She was probably coasting along at level two. Her story goes, she picked up a little book called All for Jesus. And as she read it, the Holy Spirit stirred in her heart in a fresh way, and she rededicated her life to Jesus. Not just to believe in Jesus, but to press in, to follow him with everything she had. Well, soon after, she spent 5 days with a small group of people. There's five of them. Some of them weren't Christians at all, and a couple were just lukewarm at best. But Frances, she gave herself to fishing for souls. She prayed, she witnessed, she shared the gospel. She shared the gospel with passion and tears for joy, and by the week's end, every single one had committed their life to Jesus. Five people, 5 days, five eternities changed forever. I mean, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that scene? Well, that night she couldn't sleep. Her heart was overflowing and full of joy for what God had done. And in the middle of the night, she wrote this great hymn, one of the best well-known hymns, Take My Life and Let It Be. Let me just listen to a few lines. It says, take my will and make it thine. It shall no longer be mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. And it goes on and on, and we're going to sing it in just a moment. But beloved, this is what it means to follow after Christ. Not complacent, not comfortable, not coasting along at level two while everybody else is pressed in for Jesus, but rather awake. We need to become awake. We need to become alive. We need to become all in for Jesus. This is what it means for the call to discipleship, to follow Jesus, the call to become fishers of men. And again, I ask you, where are you? Are you just coasting? Are you comfortable? Are you just showing up but not really following? Are you truly all in? Because Jesus isn't calling us to a casual relationship. He's inviting you into his life, not just one more item in your to-do list, but to be all in, to follow him, to literally drop your nets like these fishermen did, or whatever it might be that's holding and keeping you back, and to go, to follow him wherever he might lead. He's calling you to join this mission, to be fishers and men right here in Hickory. And the beautiful promise is that he is going to make you one. That's a promise. You just have to say yes. You just have to follow. So may we as individuals, may we as a church, oh Lord, would we give ourselves to you? Not halfway, not reluctantly, but fully, completely, passionately, all for Jesus today and every day. Will you do that? Will you truly follow him and be his disciple?